KAAEZF on statewide 1.
KDCAKJO.
NHWRO. Good morning, Tom. I think Wally's out here, maybe.
At this time of morning?
I caught the tail end of an FBI QSO, and he mentioned something. I will only have DMR with me, so I think he's out and about. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's not lit up yet.
Yeah, he is one busy individual, I tell you that much.
Not nearly as busy as the other computer right now.
Yeah, busy with travel time, but not work-wise. I got two runs today. Yesterday I had two runs. And I got to go back to Grand Rapids again as soon as the park comes in.
Yeah, that is a good way to put it. You do just travel a lot, and then you get there and do the job, hopefully get it done, but then at times not. You have to come back and travel all the way back. Part of the deal, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's other guys out there that could do it on the west side, but, all depends on how it's ordered and how busy they are and how scattered they are, if anybody's able to get downtown to take care of the issue.
Left a space for Mr. Wally. Must not be out yet. So we got another good day. I got to put a Kroger order in today. Oh, joy. I think I'll have a new trunk delivery so I don't have to go into the store. It got done before the family comes this weekend for the festivities.
Yeah, I just told Dave on the invitation, six possible.
Well, for me, it's mainly the good old days here. And then I'm going to take a break on that morning. Probably leave here about 10:30, get down to the park and do that. And that'll be all right because I think the grandkids will be going to the Midway at that time, and I don't need to do that. So we've got other people who can take them, mom and dad and their grandma, so I can make the picnic that way. I'm not sure. John's going to do a fox hunt, so I don't know if you're interested in that, but I may not have enough time to participate in that. But he's got his fox, and he's going to hide it. And, John, if you're listening, feel free to jump in. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I mean, I'll bring two bows. I got my bow fang and then I got my PYT. So, see how it goes. Oh, no, wait, I got two Olinkos. I have to program frequencies into that a lot easier than the TYT. So, get those charged up and see how it goes. And you're doing the set, aren't you, in October?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, waiting for next Monday. We're going to do first planning session, I assume, on that. So I'll mention that to Dave about maybe our little plan where, it could be like a default thing. And we could just keep it that way, is if you're home at your QTH at any given time, of course, we know that Saturday will be, one of my activation things would be to go fetch you and then see what our assignment is after that.
Yeah, since I can't bring my service van for it, I might just hook up with you and we can tag team on it.
I mean, unless you want to and or they need you at the EOC, because I could certainly deliver you there and then, of course, give you a ride home later. Whichever way you want to play it, I'm sure they would be good with.
Yeah, whatever I can do. Like I said, if you want to put me at the EOC, I mean, I can do that too. And, yeah, just drop me off or whatever. See what, when you guys talk about it on Thursday or the meeting. We can go from there, I guess.
No details yet, of course, nor will they release all the details. I don't want to know because I want to participate. But apparently it will be up towards this side of the county. So for you and I, it's probably a little better. But, either way, it's going to be a fun time. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, I'm really interested in doing this one. Like I said, I couldn't do the last one due to prior commitments, but, yeah, I definitely want to get involved with this. I got to get my IS-200 done this weekend. I got so much stuff to do, my brain just fogs after a certain time.
I my last email to Dave yesterday, I'm pretty sure I threw in there that we're putting our hat in the ring for the next time they have him and Mike go to a hospital to inventory, test, repair equipment. I said, hey, let you and I know because, you know, it's schedule permitting, especially if it's on a weekend. So we might be able to go and assist.
100%.
All right, I'm going to jump on the Kroger website, throw my order in, but I will be listening to Statewide 1. NAWRO after you.
Very good, sir. I'm just about to pull into the gas station and get fuel so I can go to 9 Mile and Mound and see what's going on there. I'll talk at you in a bit. 73 KJO.
QCO, this is at T-Mobile.
KAWOK, standing by on Statewide 1. And I'm still zippy do dying around the city. How's it going, Rick? KC, KGO.
Hey, young man, you are always driving around the state, it seems like. Hope you're doing good.
Yeah, I'm in and around Detroit Metro now, so I was in Warren and then Royal Oak, and I'm heading down to Dearborn. And then from there, I'm going to Ypsilanti. And then we'll see where they send me from there.
Yeah, I was kind of listening this morning, and I thought I heard you say that they were sending you to Grand Rapids. I thought, boy, this poor guy don't get a break.
No, that was yesterday morning. They sent me to Grand Rapids. I went there Friday, ended up in Marne, which is just north of Walker off of 96, just south of Muskegon, took care of that. And that was Friday's job. And the one in Grand Rapids I couldn't do because the appointment was set for yesterday. So I left early yesterday to get there, got there about 10:30. Somewhat fixed the problem, but not really. So the simple battery change turned out to be a complete new controller that I need to order. So I'm waiting for that to come in. And today I just got a bunch of looking book stuff that I got to do around here. I already got two done. Now I'm ready to get my third.
Excellent. Well, the more you do, the faster the day goes, right?
Oh, absolutely. I don't mind the drive. I mean, I love my job. So whatever I can do to help other people, you know, help other techs out somewhere, I'll do it.
I was kind of always the same. I never did mind driving. It seemed like I was always driving at least 3 hours a day from wherever I lived to wherever job site I was going to kind of thing. But now that I got old, it seems like going 2 miles down the road to the grocery store, it seems to be a lot anymore. It's a shame. Just getting old ain't for the meat, you know?
Yeah, I'm still a young buck, so I got 20 years before retirement at least. So I like the driving because I get to see different areas, different things. I mean, when I was up in Muskegon a couple weeks ago, where I was like, at the end of 96 in downtown Muskegon, and I stopped by the USS Silverside and a couple other things up there. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I kind of like traveling around, especially places I hadn't been before. Roads, highways, freeways I've never been on before. It's always real interesting. You know, while I got you on here, I've been wanting to ask you, what kind of radio are you running in your mobile there, DMR? I'm kind of looking for a mobile DMR radio to set up in the basement there so I don't have to end up on the porch with this 878 all the time.
Well, the one that I'm running is a Motorola XPR4550, and it's got proprietary software, and you got to be, you know, like a customer of Motorola and things like that. But my other DMR mobile is a TYT MV9600, and I got that one from a Silent Key Estate, and I like that one also. That one there, I mean, you got to turn the channels on where you're at, but if you're staying in one spot and keeping it as a base, then definitely I get the TYT MV9600. I mean, it's a nice little radio. Doesn't take a lot of power either.
Well, that does it. I think I'm going to order one today. I can have one here tomorrow, and you're the second person. I've asked two people about it, and both of you said the same thing. So, and it's not a bad price, so I think I'm going to end up pulling the trigger on that one.
Yeah, and if it's with the then since if you're getting it new, it'll probably have the stock firmware in it, and it's pretty easy to go through. I don't have it anymore. I got OpenGD77 is how I program my radios, and it's pretty quick, and it was pretty easy to program. But the GYT software that comes on it, the legacy software, it isn't too bad. I mean, I didn't mind it. I just wanted mine so I can, you know, interchange code plugs with people and stuff. But now I just built my own.
You know, Brad, K-E-A-Y-N-V, or W-N-V, he was the other guy I asked to talk to, and he recommended the same thing, putting, GD77 on there. I don't know anything about it, but I guess I'll have to start looking into it.
Well, where are you located at?
I'm over here near Orchard Lake. I'm about a mile from the West Bloomfield repeater.
Oh, okay. Well, when you get your TYT, you know, get it with the cable and stuff, and if you go on QRZ, I got my email there. You can bump me on my email, and then we can coordinate a day after work and stop by there, because that's my area too, Orchard Lake and Waterford and all that, and take a look at it, and I can walk you through a couple things.
Oh, cool. That sounds good. I really needed a whole lot of help on all the analog stuff, but Wires X I did okay on myself too, but once I hit DMR, I kind of hit a brick wall there. But I'm getting there. I'm getting there slowly, but thanks. I sure appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I mean, I had people help me out, so pay it forward. You know, I don't mind, helping other operators out and stuff and getting their equipment up.
Yeah, you guys are getting me hooked on this DMR, too. I'm the All-Star. I still got that clear note I got to set up. In fact, I'm probably going to work on that this afternoon now. It's got that digital bridge thing there, so I can actually use an analog radio, and it'll bridge it over to DMR. So I could actually talk on statewide one with my analog handheld. So I got to get that thing going too. Kind of looking forward to that.
It's the third. That's how I see it. I'm, like I said, in the past year, I've learned so much from just being on the FBI network and DMR. It's great. I love it. I have never been so active in ham radio for a long time. But I just arrived at my other location here in Dearborn, so I got to get in there, and I'll be back out in a bit. 73 on your final, KC8, KGO.
Okay, top 73s, and good luck there. And, yeah, I'm the same. I listen to the FBI. I call it the FBI University anymore. But I listen there as much as I can. Always something to learn. Have a good one. We'll catch you later, KE8WOJ. WD8KLL, how are you today? Good deal. I am fat, dumb, and ugly, same as every day. Yes, sir. I'm sitting on the porch having a cigar and with a handheld, and if I move a little bit, all of a sudden the repeater's out of range. It's a little hard to get used to there. I haven't done a whole lot of digital, and I'm used to, if you start getting out of range kind of thing, you start hearing it, you know, kind of thing. This is crystal clear, then all of a sudden the repeater disappears. I'm not used to that. You still there, Greg? Well, Greg, I kind of lost you, so I don't know. Maybe I'm not getting out either. Anyway, I'll be standing on the side, K-E-8-W-O-J.
This is K-E-8-W-U-O. Just letting you know, you are getting out, and I, too, am not hearing Greg.
Oh, thank you very much, John. I appreciate it. How are you doing today?
I can't complain. I spent the whole day yesterday working on a net log for doing net control, and I didn't get any actual work done at work, so I'm a little bit behind the schedule today, so kind of scrambling to get some work done, so it looks like I'm busy. But I don't often do that, but every now and then I get sucked into a project that I just can't put it down. I had a lot of fun. I got pretty far yesterday, so that was cool. And I always crack up at your fat, dumb, and ugly joke. That's pretty silly.
Yeah, thanks. I like to use that. You know, you're standing in line at the cashier, and there's always that, oh, hello, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, how are you kind of thing. So that's what I say. They say, hello, how are you? And I say, fat, dumb, and ugly. And all of a sudden, they get all nervous. They either laugh, they get all nervous, or they just shut right up. But they usually always seem to remember me. And, yeah, I heard you talking yesterday on there about that netlogger you had going there. It sounded pretty good.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. As you heard, I got it all working with QRZ, and then probably a couple hours later, I got all the addresses to populate onto a map. And so that's really cool, especially for, like, Skywarn. You know, if we're tracking a storm, you can kind of see a theme of where everybody's checking in at and where all the reports are coming in, and it just kind of tells more of a picture. And for net control, it's nice, too, if you can't quite make a connection with one person, but you can tell that there's someone that you can make a connection to, that you might be able to use them as relays, and so it's just nice to see it on a map, and so that's pretty cool. I've never really messed with Google Sheets, but so far it's been pretty fun.
Yeah, I haven't found it to be a whole lot different than Excel. It's pretty much the same thing, really. But I'd much rather use Excel. I just, for some reason, I just got an attitude toward Google. And anything Google, just about. But yeah, it sounds like you guys are right on the ball there, and I think you're going to end up getting a whole lot more points this year. You guys are in Macomb, right?
Yeah, we are in Macomb, and, you know, in full disclosure, Excel is my favorite, absolutely. That's where I learned everything I know, and I live, breathe, and eat Excel. You know, it's definitely my favorite. With the formulas, like you said, they're pretty much plug and play with Google Sheets, and then Excel has VBA, and Google Sheets has scripts. So it's basically they're very similar. So so far the Google Sheets plays a little bit better with Google Maps than I can get Excel to work. But I haven't tried it in a while. So what I need to do is make an offline version also, just in case we don't have internet. And so that is in the works too. I kind of want to get the Google Sheets thing working, and then I'll switch over to Excel and get a good offline version going. So, yeah, we're over here in Macomb. We're hoping to get more points this year.
Yeah, your last couple words dropped out there, but no big deal. I heard of it. And I was trying to think, when I was fooling around with Excel and that and Sheets, there's a third-party app where you can go and they'll turn your spreadsheet into an app kind of thing. But it's always tied back to this other company that does this thing. So that was kind of the killer for me. But the same thing, I used Access, Microsoft Access a lot, and they had another package where you could turn the Access databases and apps into standalone executables and distribute them kind of thing. That was a whole lot of fun. I really like that.
Yeah, that would be cool because I, at my company, I manage an Access database as well. And, I'm real big, like I said, on, you know, data mining and getting data to tell stories and, you know, getting it to do things for you and give you valuable feedback on the health of all sorts of things. And so, yeah, that sounds really cool. I've been kind of looking, I got real big into Excel add-ins. They're basically like a personal workbook, but they're it's an XLAM file instead of an XLSM, and those are really cool because you don't have to have VBA on every sheet that you distribute in the company, and all the sheets will use the add-in, and so you can make changes to the add-in, and then it updates across, you know, the board. And it's better for, you know, making retroactive changes so that all the old workbooks behave in a new way, and I've been really fond of that. If I really went far down the add-in road, and then I recently discovered using Visual Studio, you can make more of a professional COM add-in, and that's been my new baby, is trying to use that to make a more robust add-in that isn't dependent on VBA, because I do think they want to phase that out. But and so I kind of been slowly chipping away at making COM add-ins, and that's been a lot of fun. I can never have too much fun with Excel.
Yeah, that's for sure. I used to, there'd be a shame if they did away with VBA, I think, anyway. But there used to be a program called Clarion. It was a database creation program. And the same kind of thing, you could create standalone executables. And I used to use the database like a spreadsheet kind of thing. And I do error calculations for, we were designing pneumatic circuits for machines that built cars. And you'd have to sit there with a calculator. The formulas were kind of long. And you'd have to sit with a calculator. And sooner or later, I'd always factor one of them kind of thing. And I was just starting all over. Finally, just said, you know what, I'm going to do a program where all I had to do is do the cylinder number, the bore, and the stroke, and then, you know, hit a key, and then it tells me how much air it's going to use to cycle in 1 second and all this other kind of stuff. And then you could actually figure out the air consumption for the whole sheet, you know, whatever drawing you were working on kind of thing. And they want to size the valves and how to size the tubing and all the other stuff that went along with it there. And I thought it was kind of funny that I ended up using a database for that.
Yeah, that's the beauty and the power of, you know, the Excel and the formulas and you know, VBA or scripts or, you know, just making a program. And it's awesome that you know how to do that, because it's kind of amazing to me how easy it can be and how few people utilize it and how everybody struggles to do their job when really, you know, it could be a lot easier. And so it always makes me cringe at my company when I look at people doing manual data entry from, you know, even PDFs. You can read PDFs programmatically, and it's like, wow, you know, once you start babbling with that stuff, and every little hurdle, you know, opens up a new door of, I can automate this, I can automate that, and then before long, you know, it's like, wow, pretty much everything can be automated, you know, and it's empowering, it's a lot of fun. And then the way I look at it too is, like, in my job, I try to automate as much of my job as I can, and what that affords me is, you know, the liberty to spend the day, you know, working on something other than work. Because I'm more relaxed, I'm not taxed, I'm not overworked, you know, I'm able to, you know, afford myself more freedom, you know, at work. And then the same for my coworkers, and that always helps. So it's like, not only are you saving time, but your job is less stressful and there's less anxiety. And so I always love when I hear about people that are making use of those type of things, because it takes a special person to really sit down and learn something like that. And then, you know, I have a book called Algorithmic Thinking, and it's like, the more you do that, the more you start to realize that everything is kind of an algorithm in that you can harness that, and then that's just a thought process that you fall into is, hey, I can do it this way, you know, and it's like a lifestyle change in a way. That's K-E-A-W-U-O for ID. Back to you.
Yeah, I was quite a while ago. I was a pipe fitter, and I got hired in-house in a very large engineering company around Southeast Michigan here. And they ran out of work. As soon as they hired me as a pipe fitter, I was in there as a subcontractor. As soon as they hired me as a pipe fitter, they kind of ran out of work, and they didn't want to lose me because I knew I could be working somewhere else the next day. So they sent me to engineering. Jump on AutoCAD and update drawings, man. And once I got into engineering, I was like, man, I like it here. Instead of the shop floor, nice air-conditioned office, play with the computers all day and all that. So I ended up staying there for over a year. The shop wanted me back, and engineering didn't want to send me back, and then they ended up like hiring me. But anyway, while I was there, I kept thinking, you know, the computers are supposed to be doing a whole lot of this work instead of us. We'd have GM or somebody would come in with a package of drawings, you know, 60-sheet drawings, and say, here, we want a tool that's kind of like this one except for, and then how it was going to change. And then some poor slob detailer would have to spend the next 2 days changing the title blocks and renaming it to a new job number, a new title block, a new project engineer names, and all this other kind of stuff. And So I decided I was going to get into VB, Visual Basic, there, and I ran down the street and dropped $500 on VB5, I think it was, and started learning it on my lunch and at night and on the weekends and stuff. And anyway, I wrote a form. You could fill out a form and just point it to where the packages were, the old drawings and where you want to save the new drawings, and just fill in the form with the information for a project manager and all this other kind of stuff, and hit the button, and in 10 minutes it would do what it took the detailer 2 days to do. So I thought I'd done a really good thing, but it turned out the boss was kind of a little upset about it because he was just wages for a detailer.
Yeah, I hear that. It's kind of a double-edged sword where, you know, that it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Like, it's good, especially for smaller companies, but for bigger companies, you do risk, you know, eliminating positions, and it's kind of sad that, you know, that position was so contingent on a really horrible workflow, and it's something that could be done programmatically so easily, you know. But I know exactly what you mean. And so, yeah, it's sort of a double-edged sword. That's why I like to automate my own job, so that way nobody really knows what I'm doing, and my job just gets easier and easier and easier. And you know, I try to also automate the edges of other people's jobs. But you know, that's what I'd love to do. I'm an estimator for aerospace, so it sounds like we have a similar background with CAD and all that. But yeah, even our purchasing guy, you know, it's like we have a ton of McMaster card purchase items that I have to look up, you know, and quote. And so I wrote a script that basically web scrapes McMaster card and gets the price. And so, you know, what used to take me or our purchasing guy, you know, a day or so to do, I can now do in 20 or 30 seconds, you know. It's like, but the way I look at it is now our purchasing guy is free to do other things. You know, he's not hung up on quotes that aren't even, you know, actual jobs. And so there's places for it where everybody's in agreement, but there is places where people so much.
Yeah, that's that was kind of making it too. I kind of like, I'm not really a programmer, so I just kind of jumped in and I could make things work, but it wasn't professional. You know, if you looked at the, anybody that looked at the code, you go, whoa, you know. But it would get the job done. So I liked doing little things. I created a batch plot program and a bunch of other little things that were pretty simple and quick and easy kind of thing. The complicated stuff I didn't really want to get into. My mind don't work that well where I can, you know, plan out stuff and all that stuff ahead kind of thing. But one of the GM project engineers heard about what I was up to, and he came over to check it out. And he says, you know, you're the only one in Southeast, all people dealing with the auto industry, you're the only one doing this kind of thing with Visual Basic. And so he said, coming over on his lunch times and seeing what I was doing and talk about what it could do and couldn't do and all this kind of stuff. He turned around, went back to GM, and he ended up getting a whole department, a new department created that he was in charge of. And they got some professional VB programmers, and they were starting to do the same thing I was up to, only on a much larger scale. It was kind of neat.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing that would break my heart, because that's what I want to do. You know, it's like... And I started out just like you. I wasn't a programmer. You know, I guess you could argue that I'm still not a programmer, but I've been doing for 15 years on the side.
Yeah, I kind of like the VB with the object-oriented programming there, where you could just start building an app and a Windows app and just by placing objects on the screen, you know, and there wasn't a lot of coding involved, you know what I mean? Before you had to code a bunch of stuff just to create that object, you know. Now you just plunk it on the screen, and pretty much all I had to do was program buttons. You know, when I pushed a button, what do I want it to do kind of thing. That was about it. Otherwise, I'd have had to give it up. I probably wouldn't have got into it in the first place. So I don't think I could do any of that anymore. I've gotten old, and now it's just bone, right? From one ear to the other, it's just bone in there, I think, now. Back to you, Jeff.
Yeah, it's all mush up there for me, too. It's every now and then a good thought gets out. It's funny, too, because, you know, I'll make a proof of concept and I'll run with it, and I'll just be sitting on the couch one day and I'll be like, wait a minute, I'm doing this all wrong. I should be doing it this way. And then I jump out and... get it done another way. But I'm getting a phone call here, so I will be back in a few minutes. KE8WUO73.
Take care, 73s, and I was just about to say, I think we're tied it up too long anyway. Take care, we'll catch you later. KE8WOJ.
KYNU monitoring statewide 1.
KZKGL monitoring statewide 1.
Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar Julia, testing.
KZKGL monitoring, statewide 1.
N8WRO, back home. I'm here. How's it going, Tom?
Well, just got me some Taco Bell, and now I'm heading to Ypsilanti over here by the airport.
A bit of quick lunch, and you're still pretty far away.
Yeah, to most people, to me, it's common territory now.
Did you hear Wally out here today on Statewide 1, or did I must have misheard that, and if not?
Oh, I must have been inside of an account to be called.
I gave you that link to that net monitor that John's working on, right, the Google Sheets thing. It, he's making improvement after improvement on that, so I don't know if you're going to be in a place that you can see it tomorrow night during the net, but if you can, you just log into that URL and monitor it, and you'll see it filled out in real time.
Oh, yeah, I'll check it out. But I don't know where I'm going to be at tomorrow. I'll be on the radio, I know that much. Just don't know when.
Kind of hard to believe another Thursday tomorrow, right? It's already going to be Thursday tomorrow, another week. Wow. Going by fast here. I got all the groceries laid in for the family coming, so I got that done. So the only thing I gotta do is do the lawn work. I'll probably do that tomorrow. I don't think it's raining tomorrow, so I'll fit that in. You all set? Technically, good old day starts tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, I read about that. So we got the picnic on Saturday, and I put down a 6 possible. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, if all goes well, I think I might just go ahead and try to leave town on 10:30 a.m. on Saturday. That should get me down there. I just like rather get there early. And then, yeah, you know, I can stay. They're going to, like I was saying, there are these plans for grandkids and my daughter and her husband to go to the Midway to do the ride thing. It's something I wouldn't do anyway, so it actually kind of really works out good for me.
Yeah, what time is the picnic, like noon or something like that?
I have on my calendar 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, we'll probably send my daughter to jump down there. She's down there on Saturday just for the picnic.
Yeah, it sounds good. I tell you what, though, I haven't been at Metro Beach, or I guess they're calling it St. Clair Lake Park or something nowadays. I haven't been there in years, quite a number of years, probably 30 or more years.
Oh, yeah, I think the last time I was there was for a friend who passed away a year or so ago, and we had a celebration picnic for him.
Yeah, years ago when I used to live in Utica as a kid, of course, and so we would do Stony Creek a lot, but even that was last time I was at Stony Creek, I don't remember, so. But I may end up getting one of those park passes. I won't do it this year, but I'll probably get it next year maybe. And I think Stony Creek might be a good place to play radio.
Who knows? Maybe you people will be there doing Lark in the Park or something. Yeah, but besides that, I haven't been there in a long time. It seems like it's closed more than it's open.
All right, well, on an unrelated note, I was reading up on Statewide One here, and I joined up to that one Google group for Central Michigan. You probably got it too. But you know, when MyCon comes, we don't have to worry about it anymore probably, but not for this year. But when MyCon opens up their net, if they do, on Event One, we're supposed to be staying off at Statewide One. We can go to Statewide Two and talk as much as we want. So just something to remember in the back of your mind if we got a Skywarn. But normally if it's a Skywarn, we're not jibber-jabbering on GMR anyway.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, when Skywarn got kicked in, first thing I do is turn my HT on when I'm at home and go to Statewide One and then listen. And then if I see anything, then I report it on 147.2.
Yeah, I got one of their messages here. This was back in June, and it's like, MyCon DTX has requested the use of MI5 Event 1 for their net. So please avoid all slot 1 talk groups. Statewide 2 is open for normal use. So I'm remembering now that seems to be a normal policy. We could conceivably use Statewide 2 as much as we wanted, even during then, if we needed to communicate, but avoid all slot 1 groups. So interesting tidbit there.
Well, yeah, they took over Statewide 1. Live reports as they come in. There's nothing wrong with jumping over to Statewide 2 and going on 52 and chatting out there. But usually when there's a Skywarn net, you know, you, I, and the other spotters, you know, we're already on, you know, eyes to the sky kind of thing.
All right, I'll have to confirm this because I'm getting, can't remember myself, and I'm looking at MyConNet should be on Event 1, not Statewide 1. That's the one we're not supposed to use normally anyways. But, yeah, we'll figure it out. I mean, I don't want to jinx us or anything, but I think we should be done with Skywarn, hopefully.
humidity level isn't there for the any type of convection.
I thought I heard something in there. I'm going to take a quick pause here. All right. Apparently not. But, yeah. Hey, that's fine. I'm looking at trees in the backyard, the poplar trees, poplar on the top. The leaves are yellow already.
Oh, yeah. My big cherry tree is starting to drop leaves. That's the only tree I have to worry about because they're all kind of down over the summer. But I've arrived at my next location. Right like that. I got here pretty quick. So, any three on your final? Any WRO from KCQ?
We'll talk later in AWRO. There.
Yeah, we'll chat when I get out. It should be about an hour. KCK Joker.
Copy that. AWRO.
PYNU monitoring statewide law.
KE8WUO, how's Dave doing today?
Was that Dave, or was that Dean, KE8LAX, N8WRO? Hey, John.
Okay, yeah, I guess it was you. I don't know. I just got the call sign confused, but how's it going?
Dean, I thought that was you, but if not, we'll leave a little space for you there. KE8LAX, if it was you, go ahead, N8WRO. Well, I guess not. Maybe it was Dave. I couldn't quite hear it myself. So, but I heard you. How's it going?
Not too bad. Can't complain. Yeah, I thought for sure it was Dave. I could have sworn I heard the YMU, but my hunch is he's trying to reach out, but can't quite make it, and he's right on the edge of his rope. That would be my guess.
Yeah, you heard right. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I'm here.
You win, John. It was him.
Yeah, I get lucky sometimes. I definitely thought I heard it, and it didn't sound to me like LAX, but I've been wrong before. So, how's everybody doing today? Over to you, Dave.
Well, doing all right. Doing some running around. See, I told my call sign out. See who was on. How you guys doing? Back over to Tim.
Doing well. Got all my Kroger shopping done for the good old day weekend because I got family members coming in, so stock up, so to speak. Happy to get that done. So the only thing I got to do is mow the lawn. Probably get that done tomorrow because festivities start technically Thursday, but my family's not coming in until Friday afternoon. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, just at work trying to quote kind of an interesting tool, but it's like an inflatable heat shield for a rocket. And I never would have thought an inflatable heat shield would, I never thought an inflatable would make a good heat shield, but I guess they do. It's an interesting one. KE8WUO, over to you, Dave.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Interesting concept there. John, I got your request on there for Excel sheet, so you should have two copied net logs and then a blank sheet. And then, Tim, I replied to your email from yesterday. I didn't hit send. I put the phone down, answered the phone, and then forgot to hit send, so I do apologize about that, but I did reply back to your email. Go ahead there, Tim.
Just got it, Dave. Reading it now. And just to clarify, right, it, you know, probably won't be this year, but late tomorrow or next year. Just that MyCon position as a backup to you, if that'd be okay, that's what I'd be looking at. Over to John.
Well, thank you, Dave, for sending those over. I will try to get into those soon, probably maybe tonight, but I'm a little backed up at work. But yeah, I'll try to get onto that ASAP.
Yeah, not a problem. Whenever you get a moment, I know you guys are busy and have a lot going on, so don't rush. And I appreciate what you both are doing, and you guys are doing an awesome job. We've been telling people we've got a really good group that we all work together really well, and everybody's got their strengths, and we just use those strengths and build the team up, and it's been really good. It's been awesome. So over to you there, Ken.
Yeah, and did you let Dave know about that one EC that overheard us on Statewide 1, and he wanted to know how you were doing that net logger. That's pretty cool. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, as a loyal follower, I did confirm that Dave was okay with it. Wanted to make sure that, he was okay with us sharing our trade secrets. But I figured he'd be okay with it, but I still wanted to double check. And I spoke with that gentleman a couple hours ago, and super nice guy. He's got some unique challenges up there with, he's in the Upper Peninsula, not far above the bridge, and he's got a lot of, he doesn't have a lot of members, but a good half of them sound like they're Canadians, and so that all kind of probably creates some unique hurdles. And so he seems like he could take any of the help he can get, so I'm more than happy to mirror over some of the stuff that I have done for us to him. So hopefully that gets done soon too.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I think it's a good thing to do that. And, definitely don't mind sharing because, it's one of those things where, if we can help another brother out, we'll do it. And, that way if something happens, they've got stuff and, we share what we can, and we're all in it together, and, try to make a better place and be there for our community. So.
Yes, indeed. I guess we'll just consider it another form of mutual aid. So let's see, we got the net coming up tomorrow. We got picnic on Saturday, and then leadership on Monday. I think I got that all right. Over to you, John.
Yeah, we've got a busy week coming up here, so it should be interesting. I'm going to try to do a few more tweaks to that net log before tomorrow. I know one of the last net control operator, I think his name was Tom, was struggling with seeing the call signs and the names, so I tried to make the font a little bit bigger and trying to kind of spread all that out so it's a little easier and a little bit more, easier to digest and see for all of us with glasses and whatnot, but this is going to be a busy week, and I don't know how Dave puts up with me, let alone the busy week. I'm sending him far too many messages, so I apologize for that, Dave, especially the WinLink messages to both of you. So I gotta test things a little bit, and I don't know how else to test it but then to just send it out in the real world. Sorry about that, guys. K-E-8-W-U-O.
Hey, why didn't you? Oh, no problem at all. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here for you guys. No matter what time, I'm always here for you guys. I might not respond right away, but I try to respond as quick as I can, especially if I'm at work. I'm not able to always respond right away, so... My boss is very supportive of me, and so I don't want to, in our group, and I don't want to overuse that. I want to make sure that we stay in good graces there, and I'm allowed to do what I need to do there at work and stuff. So that's why if I don't respond. That's why. No need to be sorry. I'm here, and feel free to send what you need to send and do what you need to do. I'm here for you.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the reasons I was thinking about let me be backup for MyCon, because I remember one or two of those times you were working at the time you were doing it double duty. And I realize Jeff can do it as well. He does it, you know, he does both nets, actually, if needed. But I figure, you know, one more in the group that is trained, and I know Jeff was giving you pointers, and give me a few pointers, too. But by the time next spring rolls around, I should have this DMR radio working pretty good. I know we could do it on the UMP as well for FBI. John, feel free to send me Winlink messages anytime with attachments, whatever you want. You may just have to send me a text that, hey, there's something in your inbox, because I don't always monitor it. But, yeah, you can do high volume on my Winlink. That's fine. It's good to test it out. And I was going to mention, I noticed that font. I forgot to say it earlier. But, yeah, it's more readable. It's going to work out good. John?
I'm sorry, Tim, say that again. I cut out there, at least on my end of things.
All right, I'll try it again here. As far as the MyCon key station duties, trying to give you a break, because I heard you do it a couple times on while you were working. I figure, you know, we can have your option on that. And then, John, on the Winlink, send me Winlink anytime you want. It's just you may have to text me like you did today that, hey, there's something in your inbox so I can respond back to it. And that font, the font is great. I was going to mention that. John, back to you.
All right, well, I'm glad everybody's digging it, and I'll keep plugging away, and hopefully we get it to a point where I can leave it alone for a little while, because, changing it just for the sake of change isn't a good idea either, so kind of keep it I'm trying to do it in small increments where it's not major changes, where everybody can kind of digest it and roll with it without being overwhelmed. Dave, don't ever feel like you need to, you know, respond to my emails right away. You know, if it takes a day or two, I'm totally fine with that. It's more like I'm thinking of something right now, so I'm going to send it over to you before I forget, and whenever you get to it, it's fine with me. There's never going to be a time where I need an immediate answer. At least I hope so. So... But I definitely appreciate everybody and all that you guys do. So I'll hand it over to you, Dave, KEAWUO.
Yeah, definitely not a problem. Not a problem. I like to get back to you guys quick. It's just one of those things that it's a personal thing for me. I like having an answer, and so. So I try to get back to you guys as quick as I can and have an answer for you. I used to work for Sam's Club many moons ago, and they have this policy in their leadership, their management staff, that they call it a sundown policy. And it's, if I don't have an answer for you, I'm going to get that answer to you by sunset today. And so I've kind of just applied that to my personal life that, you know, if I can't, don't have an answer, I'm going to try to get you the answer at least by sunset here, by end of day. So, one of those things that are, but, definitely looking forward to things. We did move the group meeting, the main group meeting, till the end of the month, that way. We'll get it as close to the set as possible, so I'm going to be sending an email out here later on today. And a room change, and get the planning on the set.
Nice. Really really looking forward to it. I know we won't hash it out on the air, but Tom and I were talking that it might be good if I have just kind of a default, even for real situations or any kind of a drill. Yeah, one of the things first assignment I could have would be go up to Memphis and fetch him and take him wherever he needs to go, such as if it's DVOC, fine, or we have a two-man unit, that's fine as well. It's just something I'm going to talk to you about. And I think that's it. So, to John.
I don't have anything new to report, but I like all that planning. I guess the one thing I would kind of wonder is if there's anything aside from making a temporary or just an experimental score sheet for the set, is there anything that we need, we could benefit from for the set that I could work on? I guess that's where I, that's my input for this round.
Caitlin, I don't think so. John, I think right now what we have is good. I think what we have is good, so let's just keep pushing on. And I like your idea there, Tim. We'll have to sit down and just kind of go over some things as far as what we need to do as far as if there is a real disaster. I think that would probably be a good idea to get like a two-man group. That way, then we can kind of start rolling. I know. For me, I'm direct to the EOC. I got to go. That's what I'm going to end up doing. So for you guys that are out on the road, it would be a good idea to maybe have a plan for you guys so it's automatic. We practice it as if it really happens. That way it makes it habit, and there's no questions if something were to ever happen. Over to you there, Tim.
NAWRO. Yeah, I think that sounds good. A couple other default things. Similar to tactical call signs, some key areas that we don't want to describe their location, such as repeater towers, we may come up with some name that we know, like Alpha 1 or whatever, and that way we can be deployed there without describing where we're going over the air. And the other question would be, WA-8MAC has, the EOC itself has a Winlink account, I guess. Over to John for input.
I will pass it right back over to you, Dave.
I'm not sure as far as the EOC is concerned or whether we do have a Winlink account. I could probably reach out to Paul and find out if there's anything that's set up there. If not, I think it's a good idea to have one for sure. So I'll reach out to Paul here later on and see if we have one. Technical call signs, I think, the big thing that the fire department has that I like is, when the first person gets on scene, first command staff that gets on scene, it's 27 Garage Command or, whatever command. And so I think that following that type of version is a good way to go. Over to you, Vincent.
Sounds good. It's familiar to me, so that should be useful there on my side. And then I believe we're going to talk this over, but in the planning stages, not on the air tonight, but I think we're going to have at least several Winlink messages needing to go to the state EOC. So that's going to be fun. But, John, I like your idea about enhancing a Winlink like that. Although, like what I was saying, that doesn't have to be a priority for necessarily this set. But down the line, it would be something nice. But, obviously, I defer to you on your time management. If you can fit it in, that's great. But I think we should, whatever priorities Dave has, of course, and whatever you can do, greatly appreciate what you're bringing to the table here. Go ahead, John.
All right. I'm happy to help. Now, one of the things I was thinking for the set would be good to do is to take that list of scoring points and break that down. I kind of see it into two groups, maybe three, where basically that equates to tasks for individuals. Many of them are for, like, the net control and the EOC or EC or what have you. And then some of the tasks on that list are for the deployable people. And I think creating a comprehensive list of tasks and distributing that to the members so that we know what our tasks are in the event of an emergency and what you guys are looking for would be a good idea. But that's just my two cents. I think it'd be really helpful for me to have like a checklist of items that I need to go through. And Dave, I noticed you did send me a kind of a spreadsheet of tasks, and I meant to ask you if that's where you were going with it, or if that's just for, you know, my reference, or what the exact purpose of the task sheet was that you sent.
It's for reference right now. I'm supposed to get from Max the set, all the information on the set here, hopefully this weekend or next. I'm hoping this weekend. And once we get all that, then I can kind of go over some things and figure out what needs to be done and who needs to do what. A lot of it, too, is I don't want to go over too much because there's got to be some type of element of surprise. The big and the main reason for the set is to test our abilities and our knowledge of what we need to do. So if there's areas that we're struggling in, I can write it down and be like, all right, you know what, we need to work on this because this is our weakness. Or, well, we did a really good job on this, so this is our strength. So pretty much the whole purpose of the set is to figure out what strengths and weaknesses we have and kind of go from there. So that's pretty much the main goal. We'll go over a lot of that stuff at the meeting, and then also the command staff meeting here coming up. We'll go over some things that I've got jotted down and kind of go from there.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was thinking. It's good that I believe you and Mike got that. What is it called? It's Sims. Am I Sims training? Because that was what we were missing collectively last set. So that's big because there are a lot of tasks there assigned to MI Sims. So that's going to be interesting. But we do have WinLink capabilities, and it appears we do not have to do it over RF, that we can do it over IP, which is a little odd. But again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We got to have our meetings. We got a whole month ahead, so we'll be planning this. All right, I'm going to listen out, but I'm sending it over to John for conference. Go ahead, John. This is AWRO.
All right, well, sounds good to me, and we will keep in touch, and I'll keep plugging away, and I appreciate everything you guys do. I'll let you guys get back to it, and I'll be monitoring as well. KE8WUO.
Sounds good there, guys. Just a side note to let you guys know as well, I've been issued a DMR radio from the county, so if you guys need, reach out. I usually listen to this channel and then the FBI network there, so feel free to reach out to me there or on this channel. And you guys have a good afternoon. Enjoy your through the weather. It's beautiful. I think there's some rain out to the left here, so we're supposed to get some rain later on. But if you guys need anything, I'm here. I'm always here for you. So don't hesitate to reach out. But anyways, you guys have a good one. 73 Siebel, this is KYNU.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, John. And side note, this is my new kind of standby channel, statewide one, since I got the new radio, too. Tom's out there on a job out in Washtenaw County, I believe, so I'm going to keep this on, and we'll be listening. NAWRO, have a good evening, guys.
KE8 after 7 on King Statewide 1.
Ego Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar Juliet, testing VMR on Statewide 1.
Last station testing, you are coming through loud and clear. KE8WUO.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. I've been wrestling with a clear node, kind of getting DMR to work on the clear node with analog radio. Supposed to be able to do that, but currently my Brandmeister authentication port ain't working, so I'm running out of hair to pull out. Thank you. I appreciate it. KEAWOJ.
No problem at all. Happy to help. And it sounds like you got it. It's always a battle, ain't it?
Yes, sir. I'm running out of hair to pull out of my head. I'm going to have to start on my chin, I guess.
Well, hopefully you've got quite the beard, because it goes quick. At least it went quick on my head.
Yeah, now that it's getting chilly and I got to start putting hoodies on, it's starting to get caught in the zippers again. Maybe it's time for a mowing.
When I was a kid, I was really young. I was like 5. My stepdad zipped my jacket up for me right into my lip. And so I have never zipped anything in my zipper since then. it hurt on the way up, and then I still had to undo it. So that was miserable. One of those mistakes you only make once, and it's one of those mistakes I'll never let someone else make for me. Never again.
Yeah, I agree, but getting a little bit of beard caught in there doesn't hurt near as much as I imagine zipping your lip in there. Yeah, that would do the trick for me, too.
Yes, I do not recommend it. So, but yeah. Yeah, to some degree, I'm looking forward to the fall. I love the fall. I love the fall colors. But I am going to miss the warmer days, and they're always so long in between seasons. So hopefully we have another mild winter. We'll see.
Yeah, fall's always been my favorite time of year also. But it seemed like when I was younger there, it would last for a season. You know, I mean, there's an actual season to it. Now it seems like it's gone in a week. We go from summer to a week of decent fall, and then all of a sudden here comes winter again. That nasty word.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's it'd be nice if fall lasted, 4 months instead of a week. I love the spring. I love the fall, and I love the summer. But this has been a hot summer, so like I'm somewhat relieved that it's cooling down, but it's just cooling down too much too quick. I kind of was hoping for like a lot of 80-degree weather all summer, but we instead got like a lot of 95-degree weather, and sweating bullets.
Yes, sir. I woke up a few of those mornings thinking that somebody moved Michigan to the desert or something. the heat just knocks me out, so I would like to find a place where it was kind of like fall and spring year-round.
Yeah, I would not mind that at all. I'm thinking like Georgia maybe, or somewhere a little bit further south. Georgia might be a little too hot still, but yeah, that would be awesome. But then we wouldn't have the Great Lakes, so I don't know. Like I want to be by water because I'm a diver, but I don't want to be by the humidity either, so I'm kind of in a pickle.
Yeah, I spent a couple months one winter, January and February kind of thing, in Doraville, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. They got a GM plant there, and we were reworking the plant for to run the 97 U-Van, and my goodness, it was cold there. That wind was blowing. It was cold down in the 30s and stuff, high 30s kind of thing. And but the only difference was they didn't get a whole lot of snow. When they did, the place went crazy. Nobody knew how to drive in the snow. But I was surprised how cold it got. I figured it was going to be mild and, you know, halfway decent down there. But I was wrong again.
Yeah, there was one year, probably 2 or 3 years back, where I was basically a traveling diver, and we started our season early by going south, and then we end our season, we basically would start out south we dived on there. I kind of did like commercial style diving, but not an official commercial diver. And so we would go down south where it was nice and warm, and we'd dive down there. Seasons change, you know, we found our way back north, back to our home area, and spent most of the summer, you know, in Michigan. And then as it got colder, we went down south again. And so that was like the best year for me, because it was like the longest summer. You know, I felt like it used to when I was a kid, when summer seemed to last forever. And that was a good year. But unfortunately, that gig did not pay nearly what I hoped, and especially didn't pay good enough to dive into some of the places where I was diving. So, but it was interesting, and I didn't mind the travel. So it sounds like you get to travel a little bit for work too. And if you get to travel in the early and late season, that works out real well.
Yeah, I used to travel just a little bit with the tools we built, and then go sometimes for the installations there. But that seemed like a million years ago. I've been retired. It seems like forever now. Almost sounds good going back to work again.
Hey, we're hiring builders at my job. So if you need a job, you know, we got all these installs that you could do if you wanted, if you are familiar.
Well, the one thing I found out was that the older I get, the easier it is to stay out of trouble. In fact, it's almost impossible to get in trouble anymore. Oh, well, except for my mouth. Seems like the filters have disappeared, but physically, no, it's almost impossible. I have trouble getting to the mailbox and back anymore.
Yeah, it's actually really easy to get in trouble with the mouth, especially these days. You say the wrong thing as a joke, and people don't absorb it that well. Interesting times.
Yeah, and the interesting thing to me is that it seems like the older you get, when we want to be more careful, the filters are disappearing. There's no thinking before you open your mouth, and it's kind of like, oops, I didn't want to say that.
Well, you did want to say it, but you didn't want it to come out like it came out. I mean, it's not what you meant, but it's funny to you.
Yes, sir, you're absolutely right. Well, anyway, I'm going to get out of here. I thank you for the chat and the comeback here. I appreciate it, but I got to get back to wrestling with this stupid thing. It's driving me crazy. It's driving me crazier. So, thank you. I appreciate it again. Have a good night there, and we'll catch you later. KD8WOJ.
Very good. Well, good luck, and we'll be here if you need us. KD8WUO73.
KD8MPW, Monkey, Statewide 1.
KD8MPW, I think it was. I don't know if I got that right. Good afternoon. My name here is Warren. K88EZF.
Well, good afternoon to you as well. It's a little rainy up this way here, so. Anywho, my name is Brad, and I'm located in the soup. Other than that, yeah. Thanks for coming back to my call.
Yeah, I haven't been on DMR in a while. I got to get used to the idea I don't have a courtesy beep. It's a beep when they start talking, not when you're done. I'm in the traffic trying to get out of the greater Detroit area here. I'm out. Where am I? Between Novi and Brighton, someplace here. Heading back to our office, which is in Lansing, and then on home from there. And we haven't seen the rain yet here, but looking in front of me, I know it's coming. I talked to my wife. She said we got it at home, and I look in front of me, and the sky looks pretty dark out in front of me. But rearview mirror, I can see blue sky still, but it's pretty dark in front of me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it just it poured a few about an hour ago or so. But, yeah, now it's just cold. Well, cooler. But definitely enjoying the cold front that came in with it behind it. So, but yeah, I just felt in the shop getting things more situated for the winter time, and yeah, see if I can unbury some projects, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't used the TMR too much. I'm on a Kinect Systems radio, and it's got the remote head, and it's got a speaker in the remote head, and the speaker in the remote head is a tiny thing. It's a decent radio, but I hate the speaker in it, and finally, last weekend, I got the radio actually mounted in the back of the vehicle. I'm in a work van here, but radio's mounted in the back. And I finally ran a speaker wire up here and put an external speaker on it. It's amazing how much better this thing sounds with it. You know, it's just one of the old Motorola mobile speakers, but amazing how much better a 3 or 4 inch speaker sounds compared to an inch speaker in the front of the radio.
Oh, yeah, I bet. probably a lot clearer and a little bit louder, too. So, yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's just, everything's just clearer, and I don't know. I've had the older version of this radio, and this is the dual band version, but had the UHF only version of it, and decent radio, but it just, I don't like the internal speakers they got on them. And I've got the speaker mounted literally right up over my right shoulder, so it's just about a foot from my right ear, so it's in a good spot. Yeah, I got the volume a lot lower than I used to have it, but that other one is just so tinny in there, it just does not sound good, but much better. Radio's got good audio, it's just that lousy internal speaker, it just does not sound good, but I ran up that way for about a year, and it's like, oh, I'm getting sick of that. So threw the speaker in. It does sound a lot better, so I kind of go in spurts, though, what I play with on radio. You know, I changed company vehicles here about a year ago, got a new vehicle a little over a year, and got two radios installed, but I haven't got my HF back in here. I like running HF in the mobile, too, but have... I haven't been HF in over a year. I haven't got a radio reinstalled. I really don't do anything at home. So I keep talking about it. I need to get out there before the weather gets cold again and get the HF rig put in this thing. It's kind of getting the itch to get back on those bands again. It's been a while. KADZF.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. Actually, I haven't... probably something I probably should do is dig out one of my Motorola DMRs and mobile and get programmed up for the vehicle, but I haven't done that yet. But, yeah, that's a project I could do. But yeah. Yeah, HF, yeah, I haven't been on it for a while either. My antenna came down. With a branch broke. It was hooked onto a branch, and it finally broke. And so I put it into a different tree, and just kind of wait for the tree to grow taller. So I'm waiting for time on that one, so there you go.
Yeah, well, my problem is there's some mornings I get out here real early, and... you know, I've got VHF and UHF handbands. I've got GMRS radio in here. And, you know, there are all kinds of repeaters I can hit. And there's times you get out here, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I can go through every repeater I can find and not find anybody on them, you know, early in the morning like that. You get to, you know, 7 o'clock and they start picking up and everybody's out there. But if I have an early morning, which I do sometimes, I can try every repeater I can think of and not find anybody.
Yeah, I know what that's like. I think we all do. That's for sure. We're all been there. Yeah, I can get on all the local repeaters and not hear a soul. So then I jump into my own repeaters and I might come up with somebody to talk to, which is good.
Yeah, I suppose with the DMR and the Fusion and the other radio, I probably could, you know, look around and find somebody that way. But depending on where I'm at, I don't always have really good coverage on some of those repeaters. So that was the thing I've always liked about 40 meters. 40 meters seems like there's always somebody there. You know, they might be halfway across the state or halfway around the world, depending on what time of day or night and what the conditions are. But usually somebody out there, and at least something to listen to. Even if I don't make a contact, there's usually tune around and at least find an interesting conversation just to listen in on sometime even. But, yeah, it's, of course, the 2 meter and 440 aren't what they used to be. I remember first got my deck license. Well, you got into commute times, you could hardly find an empty repeater to throw a call on in the mornings, and now you can't find anybody on the repeaters, and I'm sure, you know, with cell phones and things like that had a lot to do with it, but, you know, when I first got my tech license, it was, you know, every repeater I could hit was, had somebody on it.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. So, yeah, when I got my license there, almost 10 years ago now, and time goes by quickly, so, but, yeah, just you listen in to those repeaters and you put your call out there, then you continue to listen. So, yeah, there's not a whole lot of use around my area. So, yeah, unless there might be lessers in that on, and that's about it. That's all the repeater usage is, so. Which is okay, I guess. I don't know. But.
Yeah, I live in Montcalm County, which is about halfway between Grand Rapids and Mount Pleasant, and where I'm at, and our local repeater there, I throw my call out on it, you know, probably about a half a dozen times a week, almost once a day, you know, one way, going one way or the other, to, you know, as I pass through town, or, you know, pass through going home, and I can't tell you the last time I've actually caught somebody on that repeater. Nobody around on that one. And there's no nets or anything that I know of on it. I usually don't catch the nets, though. I just don't operate much from home. So a lot of times when those nets are going on, I'm at home and the mobile's turned off. I average about 1,000 miles a week in the company vehicle here, so. This is my my radio time, my play time is driving down the road. So don't do much once I get home. I can't tell you the last time I made a contact at home. In fact, I don't even have an antenna up right now. Mine, I had it tied off with some relatively light string. The string's a strong string, but it wasn't UV resistant. And last time the string broke at the end of the antenna, I just took it down, thinking I was going to put something different up and haven't done it. So the coax is hanging up there off there. It's just on a tripod up on the roof. The coax is hanging up there waiting for another antenna to be put up. ADZF.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Yeah, well, I still got everything set up inside the house. I haven't been on it for a while, so. I've just been hanging around with the repeaters that are linked into different systems there, so that's what I've been doing for fun. Well, if I have to, I guess. I don't know. I can actually hit one of our repeaters by handheld or even listen to it, so I do it that way, but then again, I don't really hear a whole lot of action on them, but there you go.
Yeah, I can tell people. I kind of go in spurts with it. I was really active on HF for a while, and then I wasn't, and then I was again, and I wasn't. You know, I'll get a new radio and try something different. I've got DMR, I've got the Fusion. I've never done D-Star. I've never used that. Got a 220 radio sitting at home. I haven't been on the air in a while. I'll throw that in here. I just don't have a lot of activity, but there's some. Well, if you can copy me, I'm on a high spot here. I think I'm at the end of my rubber band here, so I'll say 73 if you can still copy me. ADZF.
All right, sir. Yeah, I was wondering what happened to you, but okay. Sounds good, and yeah, thanks for the conversation for a bit, and sounds good. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Drive safely. KE8FKW.
KE8KGL. Monitoring. State Line 1.
Heading home? NAWRO.
Yeah, I'm on my way from Ypsilanti. Took care of that. There's nothing I can do. Send it to a locksmith. He's got to replace the whole lock. It's not bonding, so not much I can do with it. It's probably the sensor's gone bad in it, so they slam it so many times that it finally just gave up the ghost. Got power to it, just it's not locking. It's not bonding.
Copy that. John and I had a good QSO with Dave on statewide one here, just about 45 minutes ago or something like that, and it was interesting to hear him out there. He's got the county radio now, so. Dave, if you're on there, here's Tom.
Hey, Tom. Okay, find you.
Well, hello there, boss man. Oh, I found that other rubber foot for that strobe, by the way. It was sitting on my kitchen table, and it's still there. KKKGO.
Hey, sounds good. Sounds good. Turns up at the most convenient time, you know?
Yeah, I'll bring it to the picnic on Saturday.
Okay, sounds good, sounds good. Driving today?
Oh, I drive every day. I'm at the Livernois 994, stuck in Detroit traffic. I started a little bit later today, but it's going to take me a bit to get home, so I'm just sitting on the job that I had last, like I usually do, because they have maintenance and it doesn't cost them anything for me to sit on the ticket, I guess you can say.
Nice. On a half day tomorrow, and then we're meeting up with Brandon here, diversity manager at 2. So, off today, though. So, going to enjoy that.
Oh, yeah. How do you like that? What do you got? You got one of the HTs that's programmed for MI5?
Yeah, it's nice. I like it. It's a good radio. Jay Wally getting it all programmed up, and Sean to let me use it.
There is nothing better than a Motorola. I guarantee that one.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, and it's funny because it's like, you know, when I first started the ham radio and, you know, using the radio, it's just like, you know, what's all this hype about Motorola and this, that, and the other thing, and I started using the Motorola, and I'm like, I totally get it. I totally understand.
Well, they're built like a tank. They last forever. And you can, look at that, you can beat them up and they still work, you know. I mean, I had a Kenwood. A Kenwood wasn't too bad. I had a Kenwood VHF mobile that was a conversion from a county radio or a city. I forgot where I got it from. And that wasn't bad. That's the one that I gave to Mike to make for part of a Go Box. But this Motorola here, this XPR4550, man, I love it. I'm so glad that I got another one.
Yeah, I'm looking at getting a Motorola for the DMR part of things for the car. So doing some window shopping. When I get a little extra cash, I might get one.
Well, if you look on eBay, I forgot who Wally got it from. I mean, I got mine at a deal. You know, then I was just getting a port, but we got a whole radio. But he's got some others, and I think Wally was looking at ordering one for himself. But, yeah, you just got to find the right one. It's the XDR4550. It's UHF, DMR, GMRS. And it's a really good radio, really good. I love it.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to do some looking there because like I said, I want to get one for the car. I got a Yaesu sitting on the car. But if I get one for DMR end of things, that'd be nice.
Well, what I'm familiar with, okay. From what I learned the other day, DMR on Motorola is called Moto Turbo. They're the creators of it.
Yeah, I think Motorola is the one that they came up with it, and then everybody else was like, hey, let's just call it DMR.
Yeah, I like the idea of the front panel speaker. I mean, that's a big bonus, too, because now the audio hits me right straight towards me, where my Elinco is on the bottom side. And then the tape radio here that I got for P25, that one's a front panel firing, too.
Yeah, I wish my Yaesu was like that. My Yaesu sits on the top of the radio, but because it's mounted on the side, it face, you know, fires off the side, so you can't overhear it. So I might get some external speakers, but if I can get a Motorola that does that, that'd be really nice.
Hey guys, I'll bring the Kinect systems on Saturday so you can take a look at it in AWRO.
That sounds good there, Tim. Sounds good. Well, guys, I am Dustin, so I'm going to hop out here real quick and do what I need to do. But I'll be back on here later on. KYMU, listening out.
73 for now. Go ahead, Jim. Yeah, bring that Kinect. I want to see that thing, too, on Saturday. Because it sounds really nice. I saw the picture, and I think it's a pretty cool radio.
Talk to you later there, Dave. Yeah, I'll bring it. I even got another mag mount. Going to be like you with four antennas on my car. I'll just have two antennas on mine. I got to figure out a place to, or how I'm going to mount it. Does have a detachable head, a front-firing speaker, but I did hear somebody on Statewide 1 here saying he doesn't like the quality of the speaker in the car, so that's interesting. I haven't had it in the car yet, so he's got a Motorola extension speaker mounted, so that might be something I'll end up doing. But I'll probably mount the base unit in the back where there's a power port and then have the Cat5 cable go up front and then not figure out how to mount the head eventually. But, you know, for Saturday, I'll just toss it in the car. It'll be sitting there, it'll work.
Oh, yeah, it's like Molly's tape radio is sitting here on my passenger seat upside down because of the heat sink. So it's got a front firing speaker. The display is kind of sketchy, but that's why he let me play with it. And, I just got, his Larson mag mount on that. And that's just sticking out the window.
Yeah, you saw that Explorer. I got to pretty much go out the back hatch already. So that's what I'm going to be doing, I guess. That's another good reason to mount the main unit in the back and then just have the Cat5 the extension to get to the front for the head unit. But, so far so good. I like it. I was mentioning I do miss the AV side where there's dual monitoring. But I guess if you think about it, scanning would take care of that. I could scan Statewide 1, FBI, and 7.2 and just have it a three-channel scanning, and that would accomplish the same thing for monitoring those frequencies.
Yeah, that'll work doing it that way. That's what I like about my Elinco is I have dual watch or dual monitor, I guess you could call it, and dual volume control so I can turn channel A down and leave channel B up. But also if I was to connect up external speakers, I can actually separate the channels because I got a speaker 1, speaker 2 on it.
Yeah, I didn't think I would miss dual watch, AV side, but yes, I do. The Yaesu has a AV side with separate controls, and so does the ICOM. So I guess I got spoiled, and then now I don't have it. So if all I had was this radio, I have, UHF, VHF, but there's no dual watch. It's like, I think it's a little getting used to, that's all. But otherwise than that, I can't see anything wrong with it. They actually have this giant size head unit you could buy for another couple $100, and it has all kinds of data on it. So it depends on how crazy I want to get. I might look into that as well.
Why not? One can never have too many radios.
Yeah, one of the companies, I forget which one it is, makes a amount for it. It actually would be more if you're deploying it as a base, because you'd have a hard time finding a spot in a car. I mean, I guess you...
Yeah, mine has a detachable head. You know, my Link was a detachable head, but that's just more stuff to get crammed in the back, I guess you can say. So it's all just, you know, you've seen it. It just sits on my dashboard. And that's where I keep it, you know, because then if I detach it, then I probably got to get two remote speakers and this and that. It's like, ugh. Don't want to do that right now.
Yeah, I can see that. You got a lot of equipment in that van, so, you know, you got to kind of adjust what's best for, maybe my vehicle is certainly not best for that, so, but, yeah, all good. I'm kind of, I guess I'll go ahead and say I'm officially on DMR now, that the HD I had just wasn't quite making it down to the Clem, so this does on low power as well.
Oh, yeah, you sound really good on DMR, really good. I mean, it's like clear. It's like I'm sitting right next to you.
And good signals on the other two bands, you know, is kind of a, you know, high. It's the copper's only seven blocks away. But here, no, I'm going down to the Clem. So got to be something right, the radio, the antenna, everything all together.
What's your SWR? Is it 1-1, or are you doing one, or is it 1.5-1?
Yeah, because it's UHF, it's up there. It's like 1.75, let's call it. But I'm okay with that. Now, VHF would be a lot better. VHF is way down there.
From what I understand, as long as it's under 2, you're doing pretty good.
Well, I'm starting to have a DB switch in here. So, you know, that's going to add a little bit. And computer in line, which I probably shouldn't keep that in. I should just take that out. It doesn't need to be resident. And then at the bulkhead of the house, I've got another connection there. So there's, you know, going to be a few connections. But, yeah, so far so good. I'd like to improve it. I'd like to get that antenna on top of the house and, you know, maybe lessen some of those connections, make it more of a home run rather than. You're going to have one at the DMARC box where you're going to want to put the lightning protection, so you're at least going to have that. But, yeah, so far, so good.
Yeah, I got to get one of those antennas like you and Wally have. And I mean, I have no problem getting conduit. That's not an issue from where I work. I can get a nice 8-foot, 10-foot piece of conduit, not an issue, and get it mounted. It's just a whole thing of doing a set of DMARC on the outside of the house, drill through and do a connection and then do the ground strap, run that over to the ground where the DSL line's coming in for the phone. So it's a possibility.
I was going to mention, I don't know how long it is, but I do have a chain link fence top rail that's been sitting in my garage. I was looking at it to see if I could use it for any kind of a mast or anything. A little on the heavy side compared to what, you know, they have out now, like fiberglass. But, yeah, you'd be welcome to it if it, you know, if you had a design that you're thinking about and you need a little extra length to it. I'll have to measure it and see how long it is.
Well, if I was to do a connection, if I do an SL239 on the wall by my stairs, because underneath my stairs is a cubby, and then that's like an old front porch that was enclosed. So I can pop off the side of that and then run it up to one of the corner peaks, you know, of the house. That way I'm not blowing right through the, you know, the wall underneath the air conditioner in the kitchen. There might be a couple, you know, connections here and there, but at least get that started somehow, some way, someday.
They say your lightning protection is supposed to occur as the coax enters the house. At the point it enters the house is when you should have that lightning arrestor on, is what I've been told. And then that's a secondary reason why I'm thinking about a separate antenna in my attic, because that's in the attic. It's not outdoors, so in theory, you probably don't need lightning protection, I guess. Because like we're talking about, we're doing all these skywarn nets, and we got our radios going, and we got them going during a storm. So I kind of second guess that sometimes. And when the lightning starts getting going, it's like, do I really want to be transmitting down here next to this thing?
I heard separate antenna, then I lost your audio, but you were still keyed up. But yeah, I mean, the same way that they do cable and satellite is, you know, they got the ground strap right there. They got the separation, you know, of the F connectors right there. And then you got the ground strap that goes to the ground rod that's in the house. So if I did that on the other side, there's another ground rod. And I can go out right where the DSL line where the NEMA box is at, do a connection there, and then with the ground strap right there.
Yes, indeed. That would work. Sounds like a plan. I've got the big drill hole saw if you need it. Got a side angle drill, I mean, for electrical work. And I think I got a lot of different bits, you know. I forget what that is. If you're trying to fit a PL259 or REN, it's a certain size. Obviously, it can go much smaller if you're just fitting the coax in and putting a, and terminating it once it's on the inside.
Oh, one of my coworkers has a big Hilti with quite a few different bits on it. That thing is a monster. I just got to figure out which way I'm going to do it. You know, because I got a cobblestone foundation. If I went down into the basement somewhere, then I'd be in the crawl space. You know, so I just got to figure out which way I want to go with it.
I'm not sure if it's best practice or not, but I did use those very long SO239 bulkhead connectors. They go straight through my call. One side, you know, I got a PL259, the other side on the outside in the DMARC box, I've got another one. I don't know, seems to work.
Yeah, I'm going to stop by again and take a look at it and see how you did it. I mean, because your radio's right there, and the antennas are right out the side there where I'd either have to go down into the basement and through and then come out the wall, you know, come out the rock foundation or find a vent hole, come out that way. That's it. I'm very particular where I'm going to drill a hole in my wall. My cable or my satellite comes out behind the TV, you know, so that's a whole different thing. And then for my DSL line, for my internet, that's in the front porch, and that's on the wall, and then it travels along underneath the door along the kickboard there. I got that all sealed up and stapled in there. So I got to figure out an angle of attack because I got so much crap in that front room. I can't even get to my two printers and my desktop that's in there.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're thinking about. It's that thing where, am I drilling from the outside in or the inside out? And is it going to come out the other spot where I think it's going to come out? A lot of times we're off. You got to measure, what is it? Measure twice, cut once, I guess.
Yeah, measure twice, drill once. Well, that's the thing is I got to, you know, the front porch comes out from the rest of the house, so I know there's no power back there because it's just a window, you know. So I can drill, you know, I can drill from the inside out in the corner, and then put the NEMA box on that backside, and then that way it'd be like right by the kitchen. But I would just then I could drill in behind the baker shelf and probably get right out to the porch area, or I could drill into the it's underneath the stairs, and I know that's wide open right there. So I'll figure out a way as I watch where I drill, because I also have water lines that come down by the pantry from the stairs.
Not to mention any Romex that might be on these walls. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the door wall on mine. It is meant to be a temporary setup. It is working good, but it is only about one, just above one story high. And, you know, with the attic, it's a 2.5-story house. So if I put it on the chimney and I get a decent mass, that's it's getting to be almost three stories high is what I can accomplish. Now, obviously, I don't need that for the repeater that's here in town, but for all the other stuff, that would be nice to get it up higher.
Yeah, if I got to look around. Like, if I got, like, little cover plates for holes in the wall, I'm like, where does this lead to? And I'm sure it goes upstairs somewhere. Maybe there's, like, a little pathway, and I can connect up that window straight up into my son's old room and get into the attic, and then I can pop it out on the back side of the house, drill a hole right next to the vent. It's a thought. I'm sure I can come up with an option.
And one of the other reasons we're supposed to be doing this is we're all spoiled with repeaters. Wally gave me, had me talk me through putting a Simplex DMR in this radio, and we tried it from, you know, my place to his place, and we still couldn't reach you. And then we just went to, I think it was UHF Simplex, and I barely heard him. So I tell you, Simplex has limitations.
Yeah, we tried that for one of our meetings, only one, 446.0 Simplex. And I think we chatted until he got a certain area in Chesterfield. And you got in a certain area, I got in a certain area, and Dave got in a certain area. So that's good when we're all cruising together. That's what how I do GMRS with my coworker. You know, he's on what I call Channel 10, FRS 10, and I'm on FRS 10, and we'll chat between vehicles, but then when we get a certain distance, and we can't hit each other. KACKGO, hey, Wally, you out there on the DMR, WAPD, sir?
He's on the FBI repeater right now. WUO. Hello to you all.
Hey, John.
Where are you at anyways? How close are you? You still got a while to go? Hey, John. Over to Tom.
I'm at 94 on French Road, so I'm still downtown somewhat. Go ahead, John.
John, it's Sean.
Can I get in here quick? Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, hey, guys. John, did Phil get a hold of you? Phil has some questions about the R7 and sources and things like that. Did he reach out to you?
Yeah, he did. He reached out on P25 earlier, and I got it and gave him a call and gave him Tony's phone number. And so he is... he's in good hands, I think, I hope.
Oh, I'm hearing conversations all over.
We may have lost Sean. I didn't get a comeback on that. But you know what, guys? The other one sounds more interesting. No offense or anything, but I'm leaving. You have a good night. I'm going to go over there at FBI, take a listen. N-A-W-R-O. Clear, but I will listen out here.
Well, that's fine. Tim, you want to jump over to FBI? I think I got a round table going there.
Hey, Sean, I'm not sure if you heard my last, but yes, I did speak with Phil this morning. He reached out on P25, and I gave him a ring, gave him Tony's phone number, and I think he's in good hands.
Yeah, I heard that and replied. I don't know why you didn't hear me. He called me asking about this stuff, and I told him, I said, I'm the wrong guy to ask, but I know a guy, and so... I told him to get a hold of you. So I figured you'd be the one to ask for specifically what he was looking for. Thank you, WAFU.
Anytime. Always happy to help. KE8WUO 73.
73, John. KCKGO. NAWRO, KCKGO. I think Wally left. KCKGO monitoring statewide 1. Again, as always.
Good afternoon, Tom. T-E-8-W-O-J.
Hey, Rick. How's it going? I thought for a second that all my radios were talking, and all of a sudden they all stopped talking. After I got off the phone, I was like, okay, something happened there.
Yeah, yeah, I get that quite a bit, too. It'll seem kind of busy, and now I started hopping around with that clear node there from nodes all over the place, and it's just dead quiet everywhere. I kind of got on digital because all the repeaters around here seem to be kind of quiet, and now I'm finding the same thing on digital. Oh, well, eh?
Yeah, exactly. You want to jump back over to FBI? I got Dakota. I got to talk to him for a second, unless you want to just hang out on DMR for a few. I'm going to see what's going on with him.
Okay, sounds good to me. I'll hop on over there.
28WOJ, KCKGO. Registered officer. I'm sorry if I stepped on the other third. KE8WOJ, KE8WOJ, KCKGO. KE8WOJ, KCKGO. KCKGO monitoring, statewide one.
KE8WUO.
Oh, you're coming across on P25 and PMR, KCKGO.
Yeah, I was just being silly. I heard you popping up all over, and so I wanted to reach out everywhere just for grins.
Well, like I said, that was pretty cool. Well, no, I was talking with Rick earlier, KWOJ, and I told him to go to UHF, and I was talking with Dakota, and he had a chance to chime in there and talk to Dakota, and I felt bad.
Yeah, I didn't know Ricky that well, or Rick, but he seems like a really nice guy. He's got a real genuine laugh. I don't know. That's a bummer. It's sucks when you want to use your radio and you can't. Heard some people talking on here about having a hard time reaching people and throwing out your call and not getting anything back, and I don't think it happens to just that. It happens to me. I think it happens to all of us. But I think we have our moments where you're a little bit overwhelmed. You got too much traffic going on, and then every now and then there's nothing.
Yeah, I love talking to Rick. I mean, you've got his hotspot or...
I must have only got the beginning of that. You were talking about you like reaching out to him because he's got a hotspot or... and then it cut out. But yeah, I heard you over there jump over to FBI, and then I got people coming in my office and asking a bunch of questions. So I didn't get to hear the end of that conversation, but it sounded like it was a good one. Yeah, I'm not sure what you guys mean by the cheater. I was totally out of context there, and so I'm a little out of the loop on that one, but. Maybe you can fill me in?
Well, yeah, when you're pulling, you know, when you're tying a piece of a pull string to some cables, and then you're pulling it through from the end of the tape, it is when you wrap the tape up.
Gotcha, yeah. Yeah, I think I go both ways with that one. I think when I'm running wire, there's times where I'll tape it, and I think sometimes I'll leave the little cheater on there, and then I'll still cut it off. But that's just because I don't do it very often, and I have the best intentions when I send it through, but then when I end up with, like, 2 feet of extra wire on either end, then, you know, common sense kicks in, and I just cut it off. So, but yeah, if you have just enough or you're trying to conserve the wire, I could see putting the cheater on there and doing it that way.
I make taking in higher than they think. Lost it there for a second. I don't know what part of the conversation you got on that.
I got most of it until you started talking about your pet peeves. But I'm curious, how did you know you lost me?
I looked up and it said, you know, there I lost it again. The little antenna went away. But what I was saying, my pet peeve is having a piece of tape wrapped on the end of a wire and it pinched. That's a pet peeve of mine.
Gotcha. Yeah. You don't want that thing unraveling or, you know, being an issue. But, I don't run a whole lot of wire, but I got a buddy that does data cables. But I have a feeling you run probably quite a bit of cable and probably quite a bit of different kinds of cable. Everything from Cat5 to maybe coax, I don't know. But yeah, I would imagine you probably run some Romex, too.
Nope, Romex is high voltage. I don't touch anything over 52 volts. And most of my stuff is either 24.
You run any, like, 5-wire or anything like that for like, control voltage? And I assume you would for, like, all kinds of things.
For reader wire, it's 18-6 shielded stranded plenum. Unless it's outside, then it's 18-6 direct vertical.
Nice. So how much more driving you got left in you today? You pretty much drive from sun up to sun down, don't you? Yeah, you live, like, right on the city limit. You're way out there, so it makes sense that your little signal, you know, your bars are not real strong out there. But, yeah, you're way out there.
Oh, yeah, I am in the far northeast corner of home. I go through St. Clark County. Oh, yeah, I'm, like, right here.
Nice, yeah, yeah. Was messing with the net control log yesterday, and I wanted to test the map that I put together, and so I basically did a fictitious log where I put every member of the club as checked into the net, and then I triggered the map, and it's an interesting spread. We're kind of all over the place. I notice it seems like a lot of us, the farther north we go, we're all along a line. I think it's like Gratiot or North Ave or something like that, where it's like if you're north of Hall Road, you're going to be right on that line. And then it goes all the way from like Hall Road all the way up to where you're at, up at like the Boardman Road border. So you're up there all alone. We need some more people up there. Nice. Well, that's it's good to have the coverage way out there. Do you struggle getting into the nets? You probably can't use the HT out there too easily. You're pretty much, that's probably why you have mostly mobiles.
K8WUO, KCHTO. So got me there, John.
I got you now. I don't know, you might have went behind the building or something, but I lost you for a minute.
Yeah, I pulled in front of my house. I'm shutting down my vehicle, all my radios, and I'm on my handheld to my open spot, which is by the front door.
Nice. Yeah, that open spot probably comes in clutch. I got to get on my game and get into that kind of stuff, because that would be cool. I go down to Ohio a lot, and I always want to chat on the way back. It's a couple-hour drive, and that would be one way to do it.
100%. That's how I'm doing it right now. And if I got to drive like that down in Ohio, then I have LTE modem, and I'll just start in an open spot that's hardwired. So I just plug that in there, and I use my open spot with my HT, and I can chat all the way wherever I'm at. But I got to get in. My dog is looking at me and go. So I'll be on the air here and there. I will. I'll talk on a bit. 73 on your final. KC8, KGO.
All right. Well, you have a good rest of your day, and don't work too hard. KE8WUO 73.
KC8, KGO, clear for now.
This is KE2BNY monitoring.
KECAKGO monitoring, statewide one.
This is KEAWUO monitoring, statewide one.
Good evening, John, NAWRO. Left a little time to see if Tom wanted to join in. He called out there a little bit ago. How's it going tonight for you?
Can't complain. I'm finally getting out of work and doing the. Since I'm usually the last one to leave, they have to walk all around the building and lock all the doors or make sure they're locked. So I'm doing that, kind of sprinkling a little bit, but just happy to be out of work.
I see. They got you doing a dual duty. You got to be security before you go. Lock things up tight for the night. I get it. That's fine. Yeah, many years ago, I used to do that at Center Campus, Macomb College. That's what I did while I was going to school.
Nice. Yeah, we used to ride our BMX bikes up at kind of, I guess, probably both the Macomb Colleges or all of them, however many there are. We'd always get kicked out by security, so maybe that was you.
Ben, we did have a Honda dirt bike, I remember, that I used to like riding on the trails there. Because there's some nature trails at Center Campus, but turn the other radio off here. But, yeah, every now and then, I was primarily Center, but every now and then I'd work down at the Warren Campus, and that was to me, was the big city. Ooh, wow. You get to be down by 696 at the time.
Yeah, the Warren one is where I spent the most of our time, and we were always on the BMX bikes getting chased out of there. And, yeah, those were the good old days. But, yeah, never rode a dirt bike. That's on my bucket list, but I also don't want to get hurt, and I know I will.
Yeah, that little Honda patrol bike wasn't an actual dirt bike. It was sort of a half and half. Actually, I don't think we were supposed to be on the trails, but we, you know, the weekend nobody's around, we did it. Yeah, so that. In the South Campus there, maybe there was like a little woods off of Bunnert Road, I think that was what it was. Because the rest was, you know, just campus and ball fields and P building, the field house. So, but there was a wooded area over there. I remember that.
Yeah, I think I know the wooded area you're talking about. It's still, I think it's still there. I don't know, they cut these things down so fast nowadays. I never know, you know, what I'm going to see when I drive in areas I don't go to too often. But I never did ask how your day is going or how your afternoon is going. So how are you doing this afternoon?
Sorry about that. Yeah, quite good. The weather sure did change. I got the door wall open, and there's like a cool breeze blowing in here after that must have been a front. Because we didn't really get much rain, just a little sprinkle. But, yeah, all good. Looking forward to the weekend. I think I already talked to you about that. And, hey, I know you're just you're walking around, and now's not the time, but next time we reconvene on your the net log, you're not going to have to show me how we do chat on that.
All right, well, I can guide you there through memory if you got it in front of you. At the top right corner, there's a icon of a guy, and he has three dots next to his head. And if you click on him, it'll open up a group chat for everybody that's on that document. And then just so you know, if you see a blue dot on that thing, that means there's an unread message. So hopefully that gets you there.
Stand by a second. Let me play for a second. This should take about 30 seconds here. So, John, is it that show all comments, sort of like a hamburger?
No, there should be I want to say it's kind of blue. It's in the upper right-hand corner, but it should be the icon to the farthest left. And it should kind of look like a guy with three blue dots. If you hover your mouse over it, it should say something to the effect of chat, I believe.
So reading left to right, there's like a clock icon, and that's nothing pops up. Then another icon square with lines in it, show all comments, and then a movie camera icon, and then the blue share icon, anyone with the link can have access, no sign-in required, and then a little drop-down, quick sharing and access, and then a diamond, try Gemini, and then I got my little football player for my emoji guy.
All right, well, what I suspect is happening is it needs at least two people for the icon to be there, because if you're in there right now all by yourself, there's really no point for a group chat, so it must just not show it. So I'm logging into my computer. I got a laptop in the truck. Take me 2 seconds, and then hopefully it pops up and you'll see it there. But yeah, that kind of makes sense because I swear I've been messing with this sheet for 3 or 4 days, and I've never noticed it until the other day when Dave was on and you were on, and I'm hovering my mouse over it, and there's a cat box. And I'm like, oh, that's really convenient.
Well, that makes sense because I was trying to mess with you guys earlier. I put in something like, this is Jan from Belgium. How are you guys doing? And then I just laughed. Aha, really, it's me.
Nice. I saw Jan from Belgium on there as well as like the Bart and all that. I was cracking up this morning. I was like, somebody was having fun in here. And they were testing.
Yeah, I was power testing it, trying to break it, but it didn't break. The designer is too good.
Yeah. It's all kind of there from Google for the most part. I just got lucky and kind of digging up all the little tricks that it can do. So I'm on there and it's trying to use Wi-Fi. So I'm gonna turn Wi-Fi off. So I should be on there in a couple seconds. As soon as my cellular connection to my laptop starts working again.
There you are. Well, I see your icon popping up, but I'm trying to figure out how to open that chat box again that I had opened before.
Yeah, I'm a little confused. There was definitely a little blue guy up there with a bunch of dots, and I was thinking how convenient that would be. But especially when you're doing active net control and it's a new person or you just want to, you know, like maybe Dave wants to say, hey, you know, I moved to a new spot. Let me have another go at my announcements and, you know, and that would be awesome if it worked. So I'll have to look into where that went because I don't think the comments are as helpful as the chat was.
Yeah, I agree. You're getting off work, so we don't have to solve this now. But, you know, next time we're happen to be playing around, I realize the net's coming up, but I'll probably be, what does Tom say? I got a pop-up here from Tom. Oh, he's over on Discord. Yeah, I was thinking we could do the same thing on Discord, but if there's a little chat box here right on the net script, that would probably be a little bit better. But we'll play around the next time we're all on it together. And we're going to see it in live action on the net tomorrow. So, sounds good. And listen, you're getting off of work, so I'm going to let you go. You have a good night. I'll probably be monitoring for a little bit. So, in AWRO, after you, John, have a good one.
All right. Yeah, no worries. I will, I'll put the laptop up, but I'll be driving home and I should be able to chat for a little bit if anybody wants to, but for the most part, that's all I got. So this is KE8WUO 73.
KE8WOJ. KE8WOJ. Hey, KJ, how you doing, Rick? Sorry about earlier. Oh, hi, Tom. No problem. I got a call, too, from an old friend, so... I was there listening to you guys for a little while, and then an old friend called from my school days. So, of course, I had to pick that up.
Yeah, I said, come on over to UHF, the FBI, and we can chat there with Dakota. And then Dakota and I just went off on a tangent in regards to cabling and connections and stuff. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I forgot about Rick being out there.
Oh, no problem. I was enjoying listening there. listen to you guys with the small cabling, and then it made me think of my days in the controls design there, where we had these like 60-pin cables and 30-pin cables. What a nightmare it was working with that stuff.
Oh yeah, I get it. I was doing DV9 connectors for certain types of systems that I had to custom make and soldering them and, you know, with the wires and everything else like that. Yeah, it takes time. It really is an art once you do it.
Yeah, luckily we didn't make any of that stuff. We ended up ordering all those cables. And but sometimes you get cables in, you plug them in, everything's supposed to work, and all of a sudden things ain't working. So next thing you know, you got to pull the cables out and start ringing out, you know, 50 or 60 pins and find out if something's crossed or something got soldered wrong or whatever kind of thing. Luckily, I didn't have to do a whole lot of that.
Same, mine are all pre-made now. But now because everything's digital, it's all on network, and it's rare that I got to do a DV9 or a DV25 connection.
Yeah, I imagine things have come a long way since I was in it there. And earlier I heard them guys talking. There was something about a net tomorrow night. Do you know anything about that?
Sorry, I was trying to eat salsa. Yeah, tomorrow's the ARPC net on 147.2 PL100. And you can get to it if you got the app on your phone. You know, so it's the Amateur Radio Public Service Corps. It's our night net at 7 o'clock over the radio. And then in a couple of weeks is our in-person net. But everybody's welcome to check in.
Oh, got you. Is that a local repeater? Is that the, UMP or something like that?
147.200 VHF is the WA8MAC repeater in Oakland. But there is an Echolink connection to it. I think Sean knows a little bit more about all that stuff, but I know that I can't reach the repeater here in Memphis, so I'll do Echolink and log into that way if I'm home. But if I'm on the road, then I'll stick around Mount Clemens and key into the repeater.
Oh, Roger that. I had Echolink for a long time, and I just got about a month or two ago. Although I'm probably still validated, so I could probably reinstall that stuff.
Yeah, once you're on Echolink, you're on Echolink. I've had mine for about 10 years.
Yeah, maybe I will go ahead and reinstall it because this ClearNode, it's got a tab for connecting to Echolink. it's got a tab for connecting to everything. I was wrestling with DMR today, and I think I got it what it's supposed to be, but Brandmeister's kind of messing me up. There's a hotspot password, and I have a ZumSpot Elite kind of thing, but I don't ever remember registering. I go to my devices on Brandmeister there, and there's nothing there kind of thing, so I don't think I ever had it. I connected directly most of the time to the East Coast Reflector or Kansas City Wide or something like that. So anyway, there's a hotspot password, and I was thinking it's new, so I just put in a new password kind of thing, and it saved it and said success kind of thing, but when I look at the logs, it keeps, I can't make any contacts because it keeps telling me invalid password, so I'm going to have to get a hold of them and find out what's going on.
NAWRO.
Hey, Tim, you can answer Rick's question probably because you use a hotspot, don't you?
No, I can't answer that one, but I'm going to throw this out to you, Tom. Rick, if you're in West Bloomfield, so we got a receiver on that VHF in Warren, on that VHF repeater, and that would be able to get you, but you'd have to be able to receive from Mount Clemens. What do you think, Tom? Do you think you could? I mean, we could test it right now after this QSO. Over to Tom.
Well, if you two want to give it a shot, I'm going to sit here and finish washing my cast iron pan real quick. Because I have to hand dry it and hand wash it kind of thing. But I'll be listening, so I'll step away so you and Rick can work on that aspect real quick. And I'll see you when I'm done.
Hey, Rick. Tim, NAWRO here, Richmond. You game for this? You got VHF, right? I could give you the numbers.
Oh, yeah, if it's a repeater, then I've got it programmed in here more than likely. Is it the KA8WYN or the Warren FBI repeater?
Negative. That's going to be our call sign of WA8MAC, and that's going to be 147.2. 147.2, tone of 100, a plus 0.6 offset.
Oh, okay, that's the one Tom was talking about, too. Yeah, I have tried that one numerous times, and for some odd reason, I can't get there from here. I can go 25, 30 miles south, southeast, southwest kind of thing, but if I try to go east, I can't get very far.
Okay, I'm going to hang here real quick. Hey, Tim, 147.2 is a negative 0.6 offset. It drops down, not up. But the shell is still 100. KCKDO, I got to drive my van.
It's transmitting from, Clemens, so that would be a stretch to actually hear us. So, alrighty, well, yeah, I guess we'd have to go with the digital method, but I can't help with that.
Well, that's okay. I appreciate the effort there. It is a little bit frustrating. How little I can get out going to the east there. You used to get to that Troy repeater there by Big Beaver in 75 pretty easy. But anything past that was a little iffy.
Well, I'm a little new to this DMR myself. And so where are you going to get into this network? Because I'm shooting down from Richmond to Mount Clemens to central Michigan.
I'm on about 16 miles southeast to the WHCMC repeater down that way.
All right, that does make sense. I recognize that from their website, from the page. So, wow, sounds good. Well, I think there might be a link on the internet that you could listen to. I'll have to track that down and I'll pass it on to you in case you're interested. It is we kind of plug it as a training net, you know, for our guys. But anyone's welcome to check in that's in the area. And we do have a question of the day. You know, it's like, you have to kind of think a little bit to answer it. It's not like, you know, what's your favorite cup of coffee? This is a little bit more related to ham radio and MCOM, I guess you might say. So, anyways, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm always interested in those. I know I try to, usually the SETs in the spring and the fall there are pretty well talked about there, so a whole lot of people sit and listen into that, myself included. But, anytime they have those kind of nets there, I like to listen just to find out what's going on, and if something does happen, I know where to tune into, you know?
Yeah, that's correct. Well, we're going to, I assume we're still going to do it like we did in the spring. So half of our exercise will be on the FBI side, and the other half would be on this VHF one. So the FBI side is actually where we would get dispatched to go places. So you might be able to monitor that. That might be kind of fun for you.
Yeah, that's a nice system. They've got all-star nodes. I can connect to there, and then they're linked into the Central Michigan network, and then there's some other ones now that have linked in from, like, Traverse City and Mackinac City, so it's kind of fun. I enjoy listening over there.
KCAKJO, you guys.
Go ahead, Tom. I'm going to drop out. Nice to talk to you guys. I'll be monitoring, but I'm going to drop out. NAWR. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Rick, can you hit the repeater, VHF repeater, 146.620, by any chance?
No, I wish I could. I used to live in Lapeer, so as soon as I saw that repeater, but God, that was one of the first ones I tried. I can't get north very far either for some odd reason. From my location here, it seems like southeast, south, southwest, a little bit west, and anything north or east, I don't get very far.
Well, you can hit the
McComb repeater through, I think it's All-Star. And there's quite a few of them listed. It says Echolink node. Welcome to All-Star node 1999. So maybe try that. See if you can get onto the VHF or repeater that way. Sean will know how that all goes a lot better than I do.
NAWRO comment. Hey, Tom, I knew there was a way to do this. It's that WAAMAC.org site that Sean put up there. And there's a tab on the far left. You can listen live on Broadcastify. Yeah, I assume that listen live link would be up and running when we have our nets. Can't transmit, but you can listen.
Well, I just might have to download and reinstall Echolink and be done with it, Harrison. So there's a whole lot more places with Echolink than All-Star, or at least around here anyway.
Well, that would likely be the best way to do it, because then you'd have two-way communication, too. All right, back over to Tom. If you're there, I'm going to step out again. Always a pleasure, Rick, NAWRO.
Oh, I'm still here. I'm just putting turkey or taco fixings away. And then I do the dishes, you know, my manly husbandly duties that I need to do.
Yes, the big boss. And thanks, Tim. It's always good talking with you guys, too. I'm enjoying the heck out of this DMR now. And I will be listening a lot more, especially to a lot of your emergency stuff. When I can find it and where I can find it.
Yeah, always feel free to chirp in any time if you hear me on VHF, UHF, or DMR. You know me, I'm always out there, Rick. So, all right, got to step out myself. I got to start doing dishes as soon as my daughter's done with her dinner, and then get that rolling for the night. I'll be back out in a bit. WCK on your final, KCAKJO.
Okay, Tom, have a good night, and if I don't talk to you in the morning, a safe trip to work and back, and we'll catch you down the road. Thank you. I appreciate all the info. Have a good one, and we'll catch you later. 7-3, KE8, WOJ.